How often do you check in with your people? With Minted, turning your iPhone family photo into a Christmas or holiday card has never looked better. Use code PODCAST for 20% off your order.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, that's right. Ashling Larkin back with me, the TV chef and the mindful eating coach, with a classic this week. Talking about a classic, isn't it?
Classic lasagna.
So I'm really looking forward to this lasagna because last week you told me you put easy singles in your lasagna. Where are they?
My mom is responsible for that. There's not an easy single in sight today. We are talking about the world's best lasagna. This is what I'm lauding this as. So this is big now today.
Okay.
If I don't get high praise the end of this today. No, genuinely, we want honest feedback.
Okay.
Honest feedback,
okay.
Right? So what I've done is I've researched, I suppose, so much into each layer of the lasagna and what makes each layer amazing. Authentic, but amazing. But then looking at our provenance and our amazing ingredients. And so some of them are strictly Italian and some of them are just a little bit Irish. But like this is no quick, you know, Thursday dinner now. This is I've got time. I'm bringing people over. We're going to feed the family amazing lasagna.
So when I go to the restaurant, sometimes it'll say like lasagna al forno or something on the menu. And I don't know what that means.
Al forno means baked.
Okay.
So that's all that means. I mean, what other way are they going to do it?
Yeah. So are there different types of lasagna then?
There is different types of lasagna. So we have the lasagna al forno.
No,
but there's so
steamed
many going around
lasagna
on TikTok, which is a slow cooker lasagna. So you basically put all the layers into your slow cooker and then there's nothing wrong with it. But you let it slow cook. I mean, you're slow cooking your ragu anyway. There's a one that is lasagna de carnevale, which is from Naples. It's made with sausages and small meatballs and it has ricotta in it, mozzarella. Vinaigrette, which is prosciutto mushrooms. I mean, I would eat it totally, but it's not the traditional one. Pan frittau, which is a Sardinian one, so they use this special type of Sardinian bread layered with tomatoes on top. But we are talking old school, like proper classic, the best lasagna you can
possibly
make. I've
actually made the Naples variation. I've done the lasagna at home with, not all of that, with just the mozzarella. Put mozzarella in lasagna before.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
there's mozzarella in this one.
Oh, is there? Okay.
I'm excited for you.
So let's
let's start with some wine.
Okay.
We need to start with some wine. So
lovely.
I'm going to open us up a beautiful bottle of red wine. So this is a Barbera red wine.
Oh, yeah.
So this is beautiful. So this comes from the Piedmont region, Emilia Romagna. So Sangiovese, Montepulciano, and then this Barbera red wine come from up in that region. So it's very typical of what you should drink with a lasagna. I wouldn't serve this with steak. I wouldn't serve this with pork, but it goes really well with like stews and casseroles. Cheers.
Cheers. Oh, yeah, it's that time of Friday.
It's kind of mildly acidic, beautifully rounded. It's a little bit sweet, not really high on the tannins. So it works really, really well with something like this. I've also brought the lasagna into studio in a stone, kind of earthenware, you know, oven-proof dish, al forno baked. So we're going to eat it directly out of the dish because I think sometimes that's just the best way to eat a lasagna.
Okay.
I mean, you can certainly put on a plate. I did bring a plate. I'm not an absolute savage, but it's up to you how you want to eat it.
What's on the plate? What are these accoutrements?
So these are the component parts of the lasagna.
Right, okay.
So I'm going to get you to taste them individually as we talk through, but we're going to talk through the layers of the lasagna, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to start with the ragu, which is the meat sauce. You just dip in whenever you want.
All right,
because,
okay.
I mean, I don't want you to miss a minute of this, to be honest. This is just good stuff. The ragu. Traditionally, you're talking either mince or else you're talking good.
Oh, that's a lovely lasagna.
Yeah, isn't it?
Oh, that is good. Yes.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really nice. So we are looking at minced beef. We're looking at pork. We're looking at veal. You're possibly looking at chicken livers. So that ragu is your meat sauce. That's that slow cooked ragu. So look, regardless of whether you do this, the whole thing at home yourself, or whether you kind of take tips and elements from this, but you always start with a sofrito. So your sofrito is your holy trinity of carrot, celery and onion.
Mm-hmm.
You dice them up all the same size, put some oil in your pan, saute them down low and slow. Okay, so when you're sauteing them down, it's low and slow, but you put something called a cartouche on top. So it's basically a sheet of parchment paper and you sit that really tight in on top of the veggies.
All right, okay.
If you put a pan, what happens is as they cook, they sweat. that little bit of condensation hits the top of the lid, it drops back down in, and it makes things just a little bit wet. It's adding extra moisture that you don't want. What you're trying to do is get rid of the moisture, enhance the sweetness, and bring out the sweetness, because it's that sweetness that pairs with the meat. In here, I've got three different types. I have beef brisket, so slow-cooked beef brisket, pork mince, and livers.
You've got livers in here.
I did put the livers in, yeah. I mean, this thing has taken me about 2 days to make here in a total, from sourcing ingredients.
Sorry, two days?
It is a
is
long...
Is the whole point of lasagna that you're not saying, oh God, there's people coming over, let's cook a lasagna quickly?
No, it is certainly not.
All right.
No, maybe on a random Tuesday.
2 days? There's people coming over on Sunday. Start now.
Yeah, start now. This is a special one, I think, and that's probably why. In terms of the meat, the livers add a little depth of flavour. Like if you gave me chicken livers on a plate, I'd say no thank you. I don't want to eat them. But I mince
too
them
rich
up. Yeah, they're very rich. But that's what they bring. They bring the richness. The pork brings this kind of umaminess. And then that slow cooked beef is cooked down really slowly. They're cooked in tomatoes. Obviously, it's a tomato based sauce. The tomatoes are so important. All the way to Italy. I mean, I wish I'd gone all the way to Italy. I mean, I nearly, you know, try and chance a trip, but I didn't. San Marzano tomatoes. So these are grown at the foothills of Mount Vesuvius.
Okay.
So that soil is full of things like potassium, phosphorus, sulfur. And that's what gives these San Marzano tomatoes their distinctive kind of taste. They're quite long and elongated. They've got a little point on them. So they're DOP protected. So they're, you know, protection of origin.
They can only come from there.
There's fake ones on the market, or I say fake. They kind of call them, you know, San American or San.
Okay,
they change
yeah.
the name a little bit. But unless they come from that region, that variety can grow in other areas of Italy, but unless it specifically comes from there, it can't carry the certification. So these are really hard to find up until a couple of years ago. Two of our supermarkets are actually doing them now, which is brilliant. So I would say
straight in from Italy.
Yeah, splurge on your tomatoes.
Okay.
You know, spend a little bit more on the tomatoes. If you're not going to get those tomatoes, don't buy chopped tomatoes. Don't buy any of those ones that have the mixed herbs or anything in with them. Buy your whole tomatoes.
Buy an actual tomato?
No, like a tin of tomatoes.
Oh, sorry, tin of full tomatoes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So the ones we get are kind of plum tomatoes or these Roma tomatoes. The difference with the San Marzano ones is they're longer. So they've got more flesh, so more place to carry more flavour. And they've got the seeds and they've got that little bit of moisture in them, which is really, really lovely. So you're going to slow cook that. You can put in a little bit of stock. The temptation would be to put in some herbs, a little bit of rosemary, a little bit of thyme, nothing.
Yeah.
No herbs, no basil, no nothing. Just your meat, your veg, your tomato sauce, slow cook 6 hours.
Okay.
Six hours.
Right, okay.
So none of this lashing the mince on the pan and, you know, hoping that we're going to have a lasagna in 20 minutes. That's not the case.
So that's cooking away for 6 hours.
Mm-hmm. You take that out. Then what I did was I got my potato masher and mashed everything down when it comes out to really pull together all of the flavours. So you're mashing the sweetness of the carrots, the little bit of sweetness of the onions, bringing that all together. Bechamel sauce is next.
Yes.
Or your creamy sauce.
Yeah, I don't know how to make this now.
There's
out
two schools of thought. Traditionally, you would have looked at something like ricotta and mascarpone with an egg yolk, a little bit of seasoning, and then nutmeg. Freshly grated nutmeg is really essential. Or the other alternative is your bechamel sauce, which is flour and butter and then milk.
Yeah.
So always think of the ratio like 10, 10, 100. So 10 grams of flour, 10 grams of butter, 100 mils of milk. I kind of jazzed it up a little
bit.
So I mixed in, I made my bechamel, but what I did was I dolloped in two cartons of mascarpone cheese into it. Because mascarpone is so rich, it's so creamy, it's really luxe, it's beautiful. So mixed in the mascarpone with the bechamel sauce.
Yes.
So we did a combination of both. Then freshly grated nutmeg, which is beautiful. It just adds a little something to the background. And then cheeses.
Okay.
Not an easy single in sight.
No easy singles.
No. My mother will be fiercely disappointed. That's our little secret. She'll be telling you, but that's our secret.
Little easy single, love it. Yeah.
I know. So Parmigiano Reggiano. Pecorino is quite similar, but Pecorino has a more aggressive flavour. It's a little bit sharper. It's a little bit stronger. It doesn't melt as well. So I would definitely go with my Parmesan. Look for a really good 30-month aged Parmesan, the crystals in it. So you're grating the Parmesan into the sauce. You're adding, so traditionally there's a cheese like Fontina. We don't really get Fontina here. So it's what you're looking for is a mild cheese, something creamy, something that kind of melts and stretches. So the cheese that I put in was Gubin.
Oh, right.
So Irish Gubin, grated that in, and then that makes your cheesy sauce. So then you're going to build your layers. Meat sauce on the bottom, layer of lasagna. Fresh lasagna sheets are amazing. if you can get them. If you're buying the ones out of the box, I would say parboil them first.
Oh, right,
until they're just al dente, which means just with that little bit of bite.
Just
straight in?
Yeah.
They do cook. It depends how long you're going to cook your lasagna for. It just means they're a little bit softer. They kind of melt into it a little bit more.
Okay.
And the fresh ones are beautiful. And again...
Okay. So you've got your ragu, your lasagna. That's the first two layers.
Yeah.
What's on... Then our bechamel. Then our white sauce.
And in between your layers of bechamel, when you pop on your layer of your white sauce, you're going to grate in a fine layer of Parmesan and dot in some buffalo mozzarella.
So put down the white sauce and put this on top of it.
Yes.
Some Parmesan, or some what did you say?
Parmesan and then your buffalo mozzarella.
Okay. And then start again.
And then go again. A minimum of three layers.
Okay.
You want a minimum of three layers. Five would be lovely. But it's hard with the dishes that we have to kind of get five layers in. So this is three layers. And then you are going to bake it in the oven. So when you get to that top layer, again, make sure you've got your Parmesan cheese on top. Make sure you've got your mozzarella on top. Bake it in the oven. If you were to do a herb, a fresh herb, something like fresh oregano would be lovely, or a little bit of fresh basil. But don't stray from that.
And this hard cheese on top. That's
the Parmesan.
That's the Parmesan on top.
Yeah, and it's just cooked. And I love to leave the little bits of lasagna kind of sticking out the edges because they get like really kind of crispy as they go through. And like it is meant to be a pasta dish technically. So you're not looking for these really thick layers of meat sauce and bechamel throughout, but you do want it to be creamy. But you want to be able to taste each of the different layers on their own. And that's why even if you taste the cheese sauce on its own, like it's, you'll really get that gubine coming through. You'll get the savouriness of the Parmesan. Because like there's very little seasoning actually goes into this because it's the cheese and everything. Isn't it lovely? On its own. It's beautiful.
Oh,
I know.
Eat that on its own.
You'll eat that with crackers. Do eat it on its own.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And look, that's one of the things when you cook a lasagna. You want to cook it for long enough so that all of those flavours develop. But not so long that it's dried out. So it's one of those things that, you know, put it at 180, put it at 160, put it on for like 45 minutes. Give it about 15 minutes before you cut it, because sometimes it can be quite kind of runny in the middle. You want to allow it to kind of set a little bit and then cut it. But don't try and hold it over in the oven for like 2 hours because it will dry out just a little bit. So you want to kind of serve it from the oven to the table. Again, it's better if you bake it, you know, make it today and cook it tomorrow. So you can do your do all your slow cooking kind of today, assemble today and then bake it in the oven tomorrow.
Oh, so yeah, once you get all your layers on, just leave it aside.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the really interesting things, how's the ragu on its own?
Yeah, it's lovely.
Isn't it? When you taste it on your own, you can kind of get, like if it didn't tell you, there was liver, you probably wouldn't know there was liver.
No.
But you can get that, it brings a depth of flavour.
Yeah, there's a richness to it, isn't there?
Isn't there?
Yeah.
It really brings that. And the combination of beef and pork, like anytime I would make burgers, meatballs, it's always beef and pork. Mix the two of them. It just brings two different levels of flavour. But when you're doing it in this, mixing something like beef cheek or shin of beef, like if you're going to your butcher, that's what you're asking them for. Shin of beef, beef cheeks, cook them low and slow. Really interesting with the ragu, I used white wine in the ragu, not red wine.
Oh, right. Why is that?
So a lot of times the red wine can be a little bit overpowering. The reason you're putting the wine is it adds a layer of complexity and flavour, but it also, it's that acidity that kind of tenderises the meat a little bit.
Yeah.
So the white wine will do the tenderising for you. It'll bring the acidity, but it'll almost bring just a little bit of brightness because the meat is quite fatty, it's quite rich, it's quite deep. You want something to brighten it up. So something to be really, really traditional, something like a Pinot Grigio would be your best bet, or a Chardonnay.
Okay.
I wouldn't go putting in a Sauvignon Blanc. That's like not going to work. So it's, you're a little bit specific, I think, in terms of
Pinot
those
Grigio,
two.
I don't like Chardonnay. And of course, half the reason you're putting wine into any food so you can drink the rest
the other
of
one
it.
I know, so go with Pinot Grigio. I'm actually not a big lover of Pinot Grigio either, but
not.
It's no, but it works, it works in this. Sometimes the known as would have done milk, and a lot of times if I'm doing it at home, if I'm doing lasagna, I will put milk in, like just to kind of maybe 100 mils of
into
milk
into your ragu.
Yeah,
right.
Because it tenderizes, again it's the lactic acid tenderizes the meat.
That's interesting.
But for this one I was trying to follow it as authentically as possible, so that's why we used the white wine in it. So yeah, I think we're following all of the guidelines for one of the best lasagnas you can possibly make.
It's delicious. I was eating that throughout the entire interview. I've gotten a good way through it and I'm going to keep going after the interview.
I think you should. I think you should. On a final note, is it lasagna, L-A-S-A-G-N-E or L-A-S-A-G-N-A? What would you write normally if you were to spell it?
Oh, right. Without even thinking about it. I put an A at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
should
an A, an A at the end is technically, it differs between North and South Italy. Technically, an A at the end is a singular sheet of lasagna, okay. Whereas if you make the dish, it's N-E at the end.
Oh, is it? Okay.
But it does vary depending on North or South.
And where is the A, North or South?
South.
Oh.
Yeah.
Down with all the paupers in the South.
The wine
always
goes nice,
had myself,
doesn't it?
I was more Northern Italian. Anyway, the wine is delicious as well. It's all delicious. Even the component parts on their own.
I would happily eat them.
Ashing, that is a tour de force. And listen, it's such a staple in so many houses up and down the country that if you go onto Ashing's social media channels, as always, at Ashing Larkin, you'll find her talking through all of this. And it is absolutely delicious. And I would wager lots of people are planning at some stage over the weekend to cook a lasagna. Try and cook this one. Set yourself the challenge. Ashing, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.